Mazzara and Parra project to Amiwara. Herrera, Cabrera, don't let the Bay Lip scare ya. Machado or Bono or Nolan Garantano.
We'll teach you how to win Rondo. Start, sit, and drop, and all you need to know. Outlaws, Rick Porcello. Now let's get on with the show.
This is Fantasy Baseball Today. 2 weeks left, Scott White. What's up with that?
Oh, I'm so excited, Adam.
Are you?
So relieved. So relieved. Now I have so little to look forward to because I got eliminated in, I think, 3 head-to-head leagues this past week. I have one left where I could win, where I'm in the finals. And then the roto leagues are pretty much like, there's not a lot of drama in those this week. I'm running away in our auction roto league. And then the others, I have no chance of catching up. So it's basically come down to 2 leagues where I could potentially win, and one of them's already decided. So I will be perfectly happy with baseball season ending.
I am going to make up about 17 fantasy points or 17 roto points in our auction league, and I will upset you.
Oh, that'll upset me.
No,
sure.
In both meanings of the word upset, yes.
Yes, that would...
That won't happen.
That's even more reason to just want baseball season to end today.
Oh, you better be careful, because I've got Jacob deGrom, Danny Salazar, and Garrett Cole. I'm going to start them all. How are you going to deal with the top of my rotation?
Oh, go ahead and do that, Adam. We'll see how it goes for you.
All right. We on Friday talked a lot about the 2-star pitchers. We can review some of them again today, but a lot of 1-star pitchers that we saw over the weekend that you could put in your lineup this week. Who did we add and drop? Your emails at fantasybaseball@cbsi.com. Great time to send in your emails now. I've been reading a lot of them. And, also we've gotten some good emails about you. One guy wrote an email that said he's decided he likes fantasy baseball better than fantasy football. We'll save that for tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anything you want to talk about?
Right now you don't.
No, right now I like football a little better.
Yeah. Anything I want to talk about? Anything at all?
No, I meant anything the listeners want to talk about, please email us.
I want
to know who you added and dropped this week, and since there probably isn't much, we can also look at the most added list, but any transactions that you want to talk about?
Oh, there's probably more than you're thinking. I mean, I bought into Brandon Drury finally. He's still only 38% owned, so... Available in plenty of leagues, triple eligible, and another home run Sunday. So there's no playing time concerns anymore, and he's clearly on fire. I think everybody should take advantage of that. Ryan Healy, also hot. Not the best matchups this week, but in a league where I lost Alex Bregman, actually. Yeah, we know more about him now for the season. So in a league where I need to replace him in a corner infield spot, Ryan Healy, with the nice power and average combo, which I'm mostly buying into, by the way. I went ahead and picked him up and starting him. I surprisingly have a lot of shares in Robert Gazelman.
2 starts.
I don't like very much, but yes, he's one of the higher floor 2-star pitchers going against the Phillies and Braves lineups. So, to get that extra 7th start in my lineup, decided it was worth it in a couple leagues.
And on that note, I have Seth Lugo, who has 1 start against the Phillies this week. I think the Phillies are a much better matchup than the Braves at this point.
Yep.
Phillies are as good as it gets. And
as favorable for pitchers as it gets, yes.
The Mets have only the Phillies, Marlins, and Braves left, 3 teams that are struggling to hit. So if you've got a Mets pitcher out there on waivers, I know Bartolo Colon's like 80% owned, so if you're in a 10-team league, he might be available. He's been really good for a while, at least in terms of like win-loss and ERA. So if you need someone, you're desperate, a Met starting pitcher is not the worst idea, unless they're going to their bullpen like they did on Sunday and they're giving somebody a spot start. That's, even that worked out for them, but we're not going that far.
Yeah.
I added Colin McHugh. He's at Oakland. He's been better lately. I don't even know if I want to start these guys, but just to have them, keep them away from somebody else. McHugh's only been bad against Texas lately, and maybe get some strikeouts, mm-hmm. something like that.
Yeah. We haven't even named maybe the most
Alex
attractive
Reyes.
At all. Yeah, yeah, Alex Reyes. Right.
There you go.
I mean, he's going against the Cubs this week, so that would make me understandably nervous. But if your league does count the final week, or if you in particular need strikeouts, I think it's time to buy into Alex Reyes as late as at this late juncture of the season. That start, his first start really in place of Jaime Garcia against the Giants, I believe it was, went
yes.
so much better than I ever imagined it going. I thought 7 innings was completely out of his reach. Not only did he go 7, but he did it on 84 pitches, which, I mean, all those inefficiency complaints, I mean, it just flies in the face of that.
Yeah.
Clearly was efficient in this start, and it doesn't sound like just an accident either. He was apparently encouraged to dial back the fastball a couple miles per hour, and you know, in the interest of getting early count contact. Only had 6 strikeouts, so I guess that's kind of disappointing, but still 13 swinging strikes. He was still 96 to 97 on his fastball. I still think there's plenty of strikeout potential here. And if the trade-off is a little bit of dominance to go enough innings to make him startable in fantasy, I think that's a great trade-off.
Well, Reyes is 56% owned, and yeah, 7 innings, no runs, 4 hits, 2 walks. That was the thing, 2 walks, 6 strikeouts. You know, I understand picking him up. He faced the Cubs in his previous start before this Giants start. He threw 4 1/3 scoreless innings, gave up 1 hit and struck out 4, but he walked 6. So,
yeah.
Here's the thing with Reyes. I know, you know, he dialed down the fastball. Certainly that could help with his control and his command. The guy walked a lot of batters in the minors this year. Let's see, in 101 1/3 innings, 49 walks. And I think that, like, Blake Snell, Matt Moore, guys who have stretches where they show control, I'm kind of learning. I don't want to necessarily buy into that because you never know when those walks are going to come back. And this was only one start without them.
Right. It just seemed like it's such a deliberate change in approach. And it wasn't just that the walks were down. Like I said, 84 pitches through 7 innings. I mean, that's you don't see that except from, like, the top control artists in the game. And you're right, it may be just a fluke. But the fact that it seems like it was by design, and the fact that Alex Reyes, for all the walks he had prior to this outing, has a 103 ERA during his time in the majors, I think it's time for me to stop dismissing him.
Okay. Works for me. So he gets the Cubs this week, and, you know, that's the unfortunate part.
Yeah.
Other guys, Scott, that could be available for one start. Francisco Liriano, you know, wouldn't it be something if he finally started contributing? Now he has the Yankees this week. James Paxton at Minnesota. Seems like as long as he doesn't face Texas, he's fine. Willie Peralta is only 12% owned. He did pretty well against the Cubs. He gave up 9 hits, but only 1 run with 5 strikeouts and 6 innings. And he gets the Reds. And Matt Whistler, he's at Miami this week and had a good start over the weekend. And we have so many more to get to, but these were just some that I noticed that have good matchups and have been doing some good things lately. And they're owned in anywhere from 12 to 64% of leagues, so a little bit different league depth. Liriano, Paxton, Willie Peralta, Matt Whistler. Is anyone there that you want?
To give us a basis for comparison, I think the only one I might consider over Reyes, even knowing he's going against the Cubs, is Paxton, who, as we know, I've liked all this season as well, and I've shot myself in the foot with him a few times, but the last two starts have been great. I, you know, because of that history I have with him, I might lean Reyes even in that situation. It's a scary thing, I know, but that's, I mean, if you're having to fill your pitching needs on the waiver wire, it's going to be scary no matter who you choose. There's not, like, unless you just happen to get lucky and you know, somebody, enough people are out of the leagues that are out of the playoffs or out of competition that a player slipped through waivers recently who's really high end, you're not going to find safe and trustworthy on the waiver wire right now.
Yeah, you know, we're gonna do our best to help though. And
okay,
unfortunately, if you're starting Drew Pomeranz, Zach Greinke, Felix Hernandez, Cole Hamels, a lot of guys, I don't know how good you can feel. So we'll talk about those guys as well and whether or not you can throw them out in your lineup. Well, or throw them in your lineup or throw them out. Here's the most added list. Robert Gazelman with the Braves and Phillies on the schedule is number one. He's up to 38% owned. Brandon Drury is number two. Taijuan Walker with two starts, he's 79% owned.
Yeah.
Brad Peacock is 18% owned. Can you go with Peacock this week? He has Oakland on the road and the Angels at home.
It's a huge gamble. I mean, those matchups are pretty good, but I don't have a lot of confidence in Peacock, even though that start last time was pretty good. A long track record of just fantasy misery there.
Yeah, there's Joe Musgrove, AJ Cole. Again, always the two-start options being picked up, but a lot of two-star pitchers populating this most added list. Not that many hitters. Ryan Healy's on there, though.
Right, and I think it's worth pointing out, and you know, not that you couldn't find this information easily enough. I rank all the two-star pitchers every week, but Taijuan Walker, Musgrove, they're over Gazelman for me. I mean, they're with the thin list of talented two-star pitchers this week. They're on the high end of that group.
Here's an interesting name, 12% owned, Ariel Miranda. I think he's actually up to 15% owned now. Miranda has had two or three really pretty good starts in a row, and his best one was on Sunday. Gave up two home runs, but those were the only runs he gave up. Miranda allowed two runs on three hits in seven innings with eight strikeouts against the Astros. He has Minnesota in a one-start week. So you look at this most added list, and it's two-star pitcher, two-star pitcher, two-star pitcher, two-star pitcher, Ariel Miranda. is there anything to this?
I don't think so. Even his minor league track record, which wasn't extensive, by the way, he's a Cuban defector who, you know, not as hyped as a lot of them, of course. But so not much time in the minors, and it wasn't really impressive in any way. So I'm not buying into this.
All right, more pitchers to add in a little bit, and maybe you are lucky enough to root for a playoff team this year. Scott and I aren't. Maybe you are ready to move on to football season. Scott and I are. Maybe there's a big concert coming to town. Whatever the case may be, if you need tickets, you need SeatGeek. You also need to save $20 with our offer code. Tell you about that in a moment. Now, SeatGeek's an amazing app and website. I have the app on my phone. I use it all the time when I search for tickets. If I need tickets, it's an easy decision. SeatGeek for me. Why? Because it saves me time and it saves me money. And instead of me taking the time to search multiple sites for tickets, SeatGeek does that for me. So if you look for an event on SeatGeek, it's going to search multiple ticket sites. It's going to show you the best deals, show you the lowest prices, basically just make it really simple. You go to one place, SeatGeek, you get a lot of search results. You get better prices because of it. And get your $20 rebate on tickets. Download the SeatGeek app. Go to the settings tab. Click add a promo code. Enter the promo code FANTASY. All caps, FANTASY, FANTASY. SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. Download the SeatGeek app now. Enter the promo code FANTASY. Awesome offer. And I just told people how to spell fantasy as if they needed my help, Scott. In the bullpen, some news for you. Ryan Madsen, is he out? Ryan Dole got the save on Sunday, Scott, and it's going to be either Hunter Strickland or Derek Law at this point getting saves. Bruce Bochy was non-committal. It's going to be the two of them with opportunities. But how about Ryan Dole? Are you going to, well, I don't know if you're picking him up. It's need specific, but if you needed saves, is that a guy you'd look at?
I mean, Ryan Madsen's been pretty rough lately, so I could see that happening. And, you know, outside of a situation where maybe AJ Ramos is available in my league, I can't think of who would be much more promising at this point.
Okay, yeah. So what about Derek Law or Ryan Dole? Or Hunter Strickland or Ryan Dole?
I think Dole, because he's the one guy they can turn to. There's obviously, it's a divided situation with the Giants.
This is a segment called Out for the Season. I hate this segment. Jacob DeGrom is likely out for the season and will likely need elbow surgery. Carlos Carrasco is out for the season with a broken hand. Junior Guerra is done for the season due to an innings limit. Alex Bregman probably out for the season with a hamstring injury. Starlin Castro probably out for the season with a hamstring injury. And Keon Broxton broke his wrist Friday. And he's out for the season, Scott.
I really didn't see the Junior Guerra innings limit coming. I mean, he's 31 years old. I don't know how much they need to coddle him rather than just get production out of him. So sorry for all the people who I told to pick him up after his last start. Jacob DeGrom, by the way, because you said he needs elbow surgery. Not all elbow surgeries are equal. It wouldn't be Tommy John surgery. It would be a smaller procedure that would make him fine for the start of next year, at least in theory.
Guess who I'm not drafting next year?
Who?
Michael Fulmer. Guess who I'm not drafting next year?
Who?
Aaron Sanchez.
Okay. All right.
I guess it could depend on postseason runs, but...
Yeah, it's going to depend on also how late they're going, because I don't think either is for sure going to be a early draft type pick. And in fact, I would guess neither is going to be an early draft like pick. It's not like they have the strikeout rates that we saw from Harvey and Syndergaard last year, you know?
Okay. Well, maybe I will draft them. Never say never.
We'll just have to see. We'll have to see how it plays out. I mean, obviously postseason innings will factor into that decision as well. But I hear what you're saying in terms of the innings increase from one year to the next, because it hasn't gone well for those Mets pitchers this year.
Injuries, news, and notes. Yan-Hervis Solarte is going to be out for some time after the death of his wife. Just terrible. We feel for him, and no timetable for his return. Scott, Giancarlo Stanton, he didn't start on Saturday or Sunday. He came out early on Friday. They're being very cautious with him. Is he too risky to start, Giancarlo Stanton?
I think so, yeah. Wanted to see a big weekend from him. That's why I encouraged everyone to pick him up, and clearly that didn't happen.
Ian Kinsler was being tested for a concussion after he was hit by a pitch on the head. I think he traveled with the team, so he didn't leave the game immediately. We'll see about him. There's no timetable for Starling Marte's return from a back injury. Jacoby Ellsbury had an MRI on his knee. This is just a weird note. Tyler Flowers is the worst catcher in baseball at throwing runners out. Going into Saturday, I didn't even check Saturday or Sunday, but the Braves catcher, Tyler Flowers, was 1-for-56.
Wow.
Throwing runners out. Can you believe that?
I can't. I can't believe that. That's awful. And it's a shame, too, because he's had a pretty good year offensively. Like, if he had been getting full-time at-bats all season, the percentages are good enough that with this year's catcher crop, he'd be in that one catcher league discussion. But
really, I don't even think I noticed that.
Yeah, he's been solid. But
wasn't that Nando's guy every year?
Nando was big on Tyler Flowers. Yeah, like drafting him in the last round.
Yep, he's got pop.
Yeah, 272 batting average, 786 OPS. You know, project him over 500 at bats. He's about a 15 homer pace. So that's, you know, very, very Stephen Vogt like numbers from Tyler Flowers this year. But I wouldn't be counting on him being the primary catcher next year if those are his numbers throwing out base runners.
Yeah. So I'm looking at Baseball Reference has him at 2-for-56. But
well,
I think one of those might have been a pickoff,
mm-hmm.
or something like that. But brutal. So look, if you're playing daily fantasy, if you're playing on FanDuel or something like that, and Tyler Flowers is starting for the Braves, you know, get your speedsters in there against him. Nick Castellanos could be back this week. Dodgers catcher Tasmania Grandal, correct? Yeah, is dealing with a sore elbow. You're gonna want to check on Yasmani Tasmania Grandal. Brett Anderson should be off the DL for the Dodgers soon. They are snake-bitten, though. Scott Kazmir on the DL right now has a blister. So, apparently it's contagious. I won't drop AJ Pollock just yet. He could be back during the final week of the season. And Steven Matz could pitch this week. Did you see anything on Steven Matz? It said he could make his next turn in the rotation, which I would think would be this week.
Yes. Yes, there is a chance he returns this week. And that does not sound assured enough for me to gamble on him making a start in fantasy, especially since you got to think be a severely limited pitch count.
So some hitters to keep in mind. Definitely feel better about Justin Upton. I talked about him on Thursday or Friday. He was struggling. He homered twice Friday. He homered once Sunday. That was good. Trey Turner. Do you know Trey Turner's stats against the Braves this year, Scott?
Oh, I know. I think he has 4 home runs at Turner Field, so they have to be pretty good.
Okay, here's Trey Turner's slash line against the Atlanta Braves in 13 games. Everybody sit down. You need to sit for this. 475 batting average, 492 on base, 932 slugging percentage, 13 games, 6 home runs, 20 runs scored, 7 steals, 5 doubles, and 2 triples for Trey Turner against the Braves. It's unbelievable.
Wow. More than half of his home runs have come against the Braves.
That's 11 like overall. A 1450 OPS.
I mean, he's pretty unbelievable, honestly.
Yeah.
That, you know, we were talking about, oh, is he going to be a guy who goes in the first 2 rounds? Before this weekend, we were talking about that. And then he hits 3 home runs, steals 3 bases, goes 8 for 12. It's crazy. It's crazy. The only thing he hasn't done to my satisfaction is walk, but I mean, he's striking out every 5th at bat. It's not like there are like potentially catastrophic plate discipline issues here. I think he's just really good.
Trey Turner, very impressive. Colorado catcher Tom Murphy homered twice on Saturday, but he doesn't play enough, right, Scott? Tom Murphy?
He might play enough actually for 2 catcher leagues. We're talking. He starts every other day at most, so that might sound kind of funny, but obviously half his games are going to be at Coors Field, and his minor league numbers were actually insane. Insane minor league production from Tom Murphy. Basically, oh man, I'm trying to find it. I'll look it up.
Okay. Tom Murphy, 2 catcher league.
To end his stint at AAA are just unbelievable. Let me look it up for you.
All right, that'll be fun. Curtis Granderson homered twice against the Twins on Saturday. You might want to be careful trusting him, though. David Dahl, he started on Saturday and Sunday. Do you feel comfortable starting David Dahl this week?
Comfortable is putting it a little strong, but I had him out of my lineup in a 5 outfielder league and put him back in this morning. So maybe not 3 outfielder leagues, but 5 outfielder leagues. Despite the fatigue he's dealing with, go ahead and do it.
All right, so I'm going to give you some names of hitters who are possibly available. Only in about half of our leagues to a little bit more of that. And you tell me who you'd be most interested in. Carlos Gomez, who has 3 straight weeks with 20 or more fantasy points. Danny Valencia, who had a great week but was bad before that. Marcus Semien, who had a great week but was bad before that. Kevin Kiermaier, only 2 hits in his last 4 games, but a pretty good stretch overall. And Kendrys Morales, who had a quiet week before homering on Sunday. He also homered last Sunday. And you want to check the splits and the matchups for Morales. He's been much better against lefties this year. So Carlos Gomez, Danny Valencia, Marcus Semien, Kevin Kiermaier, Kendrys Morales. Oh, Brandon Drury. Let's throw him in there.
Well, Kevin Kiermaier is interesting, at least in roto leagues, because of the power-speed combo. So he would... I wouldn't say he's my first choice in that format because I feel like Brandon Drury has to be the first choice in either format as hot as he is right now. But my second choice in the points league would be Kendrys Morales, who hasn't really cooled off yet, not completely. And then Kevin Kiermaier would be my second choice in a roto league. So to follow up with this Tom Murphy stat that I wanted to look up, Adam.
Okay.
In 303 at bats at AAA, so a little more than half the season. He hit 327 with 19 home runs, OPS over 1,000. That's pretty impressive in its own right, correct?
Sure.
On June 30th.
Oh, Tom Murphy. It's going to be since my birthday.
No, on June 30th, that late into the season, Tom Murphy was batting .208. So in his last 154 at bats, he hit .442 with 12 home runs.
Woo! That's Trey Turner against the Braves, man. That's awesome.
Tom Murphy against AAA pitching. And now 4 home runs in 25 at-bats in the majors. Even every other day, like I said, in 2 catcher leagues, I think that's potential that's worth tapping into.
Okay, Bryce Harper, start or sit?
Start.
Andrew McCutchen, 7-game hitting streak with 3 home runs, 10 RBIs, and 2 doubles. Start or sit?
I think I'd lean towards starting him as well. It's easier to do in a 5 outfielder league, of course.
Yeah. All right, Mr. McCutchen. Hanley Ramirez is the hottest hitter in baseball, and let's talk... Maybe I'm just saying that because I hate him right now. But let's talk about pitchers. All right, Yu Darvish. I'm going to give you some studs who have been duds, and you're going to tell me start or sit. Yu Darvish at Oakland, who he just struggled against. Yu Darvish at Oakland.
Yeah, but the start before that was fantastic, and he's been much more good than bad since returning from Tommy John surgery. He actually said he had been tinkering with his mechanics in a bullpen session prior to this start and then decided it wasn't working and tried to switch back to his old mechanics, and it just didn't go right for him. So it sounds like there's pretty good explanation for a struggle this time out.
Like he's figuring it out, Yu Darvish.
Well, I think by next turn I'll have it figured out.
All right. Start Yu Darvish at Oakland. Jake Arrieta against St. Louis. Let's go back 15 starts. Arrieta has a 4.19 ERA and a very low strikeout rate and a high walk rate. Arrieta against St. Louis.
But I'll still start him because he has the Cubs lineup backing him, and he's still Jake Arrieta. So Joe Maddon said they think they know what the problem is, and they think it's very correctable. Hopefully they're right.
Taijuan Walker, 2 starts or 1 start Arrieta?
1 start Arrieta, unless it's a situation where you know you have to make up a lot of ground and just you're rolling the dice.
Okay. Zach Greinke. You know, look, the numbers haven't been that bad lately, but the walks have been bad. He just hasn't been very good. He hasn't had a great start.
No.
Maybe 1 in like his last 7 or something. Greinke. Oh, at San Diego. That was his great start, though. It was August 19th. He had a great start at San Diego. That's his matchup this week. Starter sit Greinke.
Well, I told you I sat him last week, and it went okay for me. But San Diego, I think that's reason enough to get him back in the lineup.
Drew Pomeranz at Tampa Bay.
Yeah, I like that, even though the last couple starts have been rocky.
I know, but it does seem, and people are saying that he's getting tired.
Right. I felt that way when he first came over to Boston, though, and he was able to climb back out of it. So I think the matchup's good enough that I'll roll the dice on him.
On Mr. Pomeranz. Okay. Jose Quintana at Cleveland this week. Terrible start over the weekend.
Yes. And it wasn't just an isolated incident either. I think 3 out of his last 4 have been terrible.
No. Really? I thought it was only like 2 out of 5. I thought he had kind of turned it around.
3 bad and 4. He did have a great 1-inning start, you know, 2 starts ago. So that was the one good one. But he's...
Okay, all right. Let's talk about this. Let's look at those last 4 starts for Quintana.
Okay.
5 innings, 7 runs at Minnesota. Awful. Yeah. 6 2/3, 4 runs with 7 strikeouts against Detroit. It's not that bad.
Okay, fair enough.
And then a really good one against Cleveland, and then this horrible one at Kansas City.
Okay, so 2 out of 4 were awful.
Yeah.
1 was pretty bad. Does that make you feel better?
One was disappointing, but 6 2/3, that's the kind of start that like Justin Verlander would have, where he'd give up that last run in the 7th inning, and his line would look really bad. I actually want to know if that happened. But
all right, but
doesn't matter. 2 out of 4 have been really bad. I think that's news enough.
It looks worse amid the other starts, right? Like if it's a 4-run outing amid a bunch of 1 and 2-run outings, like, okay, not a big deal. But when it's 7 runs, 6 runs, 4 runs, it fits in there with the bad trend.
Okay.
You have to admit.
Yeah, but he did give up that 4th run in the 7th inning. But
in
okay,
any case, we're starting Jose Quintana. So.
You are starting him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Michael Fulmer. I don't even know if he's pitching this week. But do you trust Michael Fulmer? Because he's only going to make 2 more starts. I would assume he will pitch at some point this week.
Yeah, I assume. But I think that's a clear case of a pitcher who's wearing down, and I'd rather not start him.
How about Cole Hamels? He gets Oakland on the road this week, and they just hit him hard. He's got a 10.50 ERA. In his last 4 starts, starter sit Cole Hamels.
Yeah, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. I don't think I'd sit him for like one of the Robert Gazelman types. I don't think I'd sit him for Alex Reyes against the Cubs. But if you happen to be stacked at starting pitcher, I think better safe than sorry, and you can sit Hamels.
Felix Hernandez, Toronto this week at home.
No.
Yeah.
He's
no.
pretty much a flat sit for me.
Okay, studs being duds, part two. These guys are less studly, but owned in a lot of leagues. Starter sit Anthony DeSclafani, who just had arguably his worst start of the season against the Pirates, at Milwaukee this week for DeSclafani.
Well, Milwaukee's your magic elixir for pitchers, right?
That's right. Darn straight.
And I feel like DeSclafani, you know, he's going pretty well before that most recent start where he got hit hard. So I still feel good about him.
Ivan Nova had his worst start as a Pirate. He had a 2.41 ERA in his previous 8 starts. Gets Washington this week. Scott, I'd probably start him. I think I am starting him, in fact, over like Seth Lugo. For Nova, what's kind of interesting is he said, oh, the Reds had seen me twice already. And I wonder if, you know, this magical run is partially unfamiliarity in the NL with Ivan Nova. The good news is he hasn't faced Washington yet. Or maybe he has in interleague, but he hasn't as a Pirate. So that's why I'm cool with it. What about you?
It's just speaking to your broader point. I think it's possible. Obviously, the sample size. I mean, that's part of what goes in when we say the sample size is too small. That's one of the many factors that go into why that's problematic. But at the same time, the kind of control he has displayed during his time with the Pirates, and knowing Ray Searage's history of remaking these pitchers into something great, I still give Nova the benefit of the doubt, and I would this week against Washington. I'm not saying he's must start, but I know in one league it's between him and like it's a league where I can choose between him and a closer, Tony Watson, and I'm going with Nova for the one start.
Chris Tillman against Boston, are we sitting him?
Yeah.
Matt Moore at the Dodgers. Last time he faced the Dodgers, he almost threw a no-hitter. Matt Moore, starter sit.
And Dodgers struggle against lefties. I think Matt Moore has been a lot more good than bad for Moore since coming over to the Giants. So I like him for this matchup.
All right, let's look a little bit deeper now, but not that deep. Still in fairly shallow leagues. I'm going to give you some names. You tell me who you'd be interested in starting this week. Colin McHugh at Oakland. Irvin Santana against Detroit. John Gray at the Dodgers. How about John Gray? He had the best start in the history of Coors Field.
Complete
game shutout, man. 16 Ks.
That's not hyperbole. He broke Randy Johnson's record for strikeouts in a Coors Field start. And I think broke the Rockies' record for strikeouts in a start, home or away. I think that belonged to Daryl Kyle. So, brilliant start for Gray. It was against the Padres.
Yep.
And had been pretty unreliable the last few weeks. If I had owned John Gray, I would not have benefited from this start probably, because that's how inconsistent he had been. The Dodgers are hit righties much better than lefties, and he threw 113 pitches in this start. I'm really on the fence about it.
I'm not starting him.
Yeah, you're just not starting him?
Well, I don't own him. But I would not recommend
Chris Towers was prioritizing him over a two-start Walker in one of his lineups.
Oh, give me a break.
And also over a one-start Iwakuma.
John Gray had a 7.71 ERA in his previous 7 starts.
Right. I was saying bench Iwakuma for two-start Walker, but go ahead and leave Gray in there. But I think it's between those three who sits. And I could understand sitting Gray.
Okay, so McHugh at Oakland, Irvin Santana against Detroit, Gray at the Dodgers, Jeremy Hellickson at the Mets, and I would avoid this, people. He has a 6.75 ERA and 4 starts against the Mets, and he's had, you know, at best he's had like an okay start against them. So I'm thinking no. McHugh at Oakland or Santana against Detroit, any interest there?
I mean, I think I like Hellickson the most. I like him more than those two. Santana, I mean, he has the worst matchup against the Tigers, but he's been the most reliable, clearly. And I think he might be the easiest to start, but I still think the Mets are a good matchup, and I feel like Jeremy Hellickson has had the most underrated pitching season of any pitcher in baseball this year. And
but
then
they have his number.
Game shutout last time. Four starts. I mean, doesn't tell me a lot, feel like. And it's a small enough sample that just one awful start could really skew that number. So I'm looking at the game log now.
It's not
against
one start.
The Mets. It's one start was pretty good. Two starts were awful. One was kind of like that Quintana start were split on. So I don't know. I think Hellickson's pretty safe.
All right, Scott, let's go.
He has been wearing down. I think he's been okay.
Let's go a little faster. Finnegan at Milwaukee, De Leon against Colorado, Joe Ross at Pittsburgh. Any of those starts to you? Finnegan at Milwaukee, De Leon against Colorado, Joe Ross at Pittsburgh.
All three of them are sits to me. Finnegan is about to get shut down, has been terrible recently. Ross is still building back up. De Leon, I don't trust him with the matchup after the start he just had.
Yeah, okay. Liriano against the Yankees, Paxton at Minnesota, Luke Weaver at Colorado, no. Alex Reyes against the Cubs, at the Cubs, and Tom Kohler against Washington, who has a 2.12 ERA and three starts against Washington this year. We've talked about most of these guys. Who do you want to start this week?
Paxton and Reyes would be my top choices. Not Weaver, only because he's at Colorado. Still high on Weaver despite his last start.
What about Kohler at home against Washington?
I know he's been good in three starts against them, but it's still a tough matchup, and I don't trust him as much as those Reyes and Paxton. Doesn't have the same ability.
Yeah, but Kohler is not just this year, but consistently pretty good at home.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I don't think he's an awful start.
Yeah,
I
just exactly. Yeah.
I just think most owners have better options.
Yeah, and he's been less good at home lately, kind of like six innings, three runs-ish. Some more, Seth Lugo against Philadelphia, Daniel Norris against Kansas City, and Luis Sessa at Tampa Bay.
Not really feeling any of those. Sessa at Tampa Bay, I'm starting in an AL-only league, but for mixed leagues, no thanks.
Matt Whistler, all these players that I'm about to name are owned in 21% of leagues or fewer. Matt Whistler at Miami, Willie Peralta against Cincinnati, Ariel Miranda at Minnesota, Brock Stewart, not sure what his matchup is. I think
he might not start. He's their designated spot starter. So if they decide to go without this week, we won't see Stewart.
Okay, Whistler at Miami, Peralta against Cincinnati, Miranda at Minnesota, any interest?
No, I don't think so. I did kind of overlook Seth Lugo on the last list against Philadelphia. I think he's probably better than any of these options. Of these options, Whistler at Miami seems like a tolerable choice because he's an extreme flyball pitcher that's a big park. But I don't love it.
Ricky Nolasco is pitching pretty well lately. He's at Houston. Start or sit?
He is pitching pretty well lately. I feel like we should know better. Kind of like with Ubaldo Jimenez. I feel like we should know better. So I'm leaving that for the AL-only leagues.
Yeah, now Jimenez is easy because he's got the Red Sox, so you don't have to stress about that. You sit him.
Right.
But Nolasco at Houston, we do see some very good starts against Houston. No Bregman.
They strike out a lot.
They strike out a ton. Yeah. How about Clay Buchholz at Baltimore?
No.
How about Miguel? This is sneaky to me. Miguel Gonzalez at Cleveland. I think under-owned, 12% Miguel Gonzalez.
Yeah, he's been surprisingly reliable. And maybe that I shouldn't even put it that way, because for most of his career with the Orioles, like, that was his M.O. He wouldn't dazzle you with ratio stats, but he would consistently go 6-plus innings, 3 earned runs or fewer, and just very reliable. And that's the way he's been for the White Sox. Still a tough matchup. I think I'd take Kohler over him, but you're right that extremely low ownership percentage is too low.
Okay, Miguel Gonzalez at Cleveland this week. It's time to read some emails, finish off the show, and help the people out. Let's get some championships. This is from Tyler. Is Brad Peacock a safe stream against Oakland on day one of the semifinals? So this is just a daily league, it looks like. Brad Peacock tonight, start or sit against Oakland.
I'd rather not. I think he's scary. I'd sit him.
This is from John from KCMO in the semifinals. I guess that's Kansas City, Missouri. Dear Jose and Mark.
Jose Canseco and Mark McGuire were the Bash Brothers.
Yeah, we could not be anything less like, that is the worst. We are like, what's his name?
I have no idea.
Oh, that little guy on the Braves.
Walt Weiss?
No.
Oh, okay.
It'll come to me. I think I've got it.
Well, Walt Weiss was part of those Oakland teams. That's why I went to him. But the little guy on the Braves, Rafael Belliard?
No. Okay. I got this. Jeff Blauser. You and I are else. Like Mike Gallego. Mike Gallego and Jeff Blauser. That's us.
Okay. I mean, Jeff Blauser had a little pop. He made a couple all-star teams, but all right, fair enough.
Okay, well, we're not the Bash Brothers.
I think Rafael Belliard was better.
That's fine with me. So here's John's question. Pick three of these. Chris Tillman, he says against Arizona. That cannot be right. There's no way. They're not playing interleague this week, are they? He's facing Boston this week, Chris Tillman.
There's some interleague games this week, but I think, I can look it up really quickly. We don't have to wonder. Go ahead.
I just had him facing Boston, so I think it's Boston.
Okay.
They do have Arizona this week, but I don't think Tillman gets them. And that's a big distinction here, obviously.
Yeah.
Our website has Tillman facing David Price on Wednesday, I think.
Okay. Let's go with that.
Okay. Tillman
Things
against
are subject
Boston.
To change. I think that goes without saying.
There you go. Gio Gonzalez at Pittsburgh. Jose De Leon against Colorado. Tyone against Washington. Paxton at Minnesota. Duffy. Two starts, Tyler Duffy and Yovani Gallardo. So pick three.
All right, who sent this email again?
This is from John. I put these there in the notes, my friend.
Oh, they're in the notes.
I sent them
you
to you today.
Me a favor. Thank you. Thank you, Adam.
You're very welcome.
You were embarrassed by Friday's show, weren't you?
It was pretty bad.
All right, so now I've stalled to scroll down. All right, so I need to pick three of them. I am going with...
Paxton.
Well, for sure... Paxton? Yeah, okay. Paxton, sure. I mean, even if he's facing Boston, I feel like Tillman's better than most of this garbage. So,
yeah,
Paxton, Tillman, and... Jameson Tyone.
Yeah, good luck, my friend.
Yeah.
Chad from Blackstone, Massachusetts. Two-start Eduardo Rodriguez or a one-start Colin McHugh? Gio Gonzalez at Pittsburgh or Ian Kennedy?
Kennedy.
Okay. I think I'd probably go two-start Eduardo, but I know you wouldn't.
I'm scared of that, man.
Mike in New York City. This is an interesting email. He's in the finals in a categories league. The guy has no starting pitchers. He has 10 relievers comprised of mostly elite closers and holds guys. I have three or four closers. They're not as good. My best guy is Ozuna, and the rest would be waiver fodder. So does it make sense to try to win quality starts and strikeouts by starting a couple of starters and then dropping my starters and closers for whatever holds I can find? That's probably what I would do. The guy's starting nothing but relievers against you?
Yeah. If you have no chance of winning saves in a head-to-head categories league, then don't even try. I think that... You know, we talk about punting for a season long, for a full season, and that's generally a bad idea. But for a head-to-head matchup like this, I think it makes perfect sense.
We've got Georgi Milov. He says, "Hey, Adrian and Ambrose." I know what that is. Did we?
What is it?
Did we talk about my love for the show Monk on this podcast?
I don't remember that. No.
Okay. Well, I do love that show. It's one of my all-time favorites, and that's Monk. That is Tony Shalhoub and John Turturro, their characters. So, semifinals, 12-team head-to-head points league. No negative points for strikeouts. Who do I start at third base? Ooh, Brandon Drury, Jake Lamb, Jung Ho Gong, or Ryan Healy. What do you think about the team name Sexual Healy?
I think you have to know who you're playing against. That doesn't sound, you know, it's not rated E for everyone.
Well, when you get that feeling, are you starting Ryan Healy or Jung Ho Gong, Jake Lamb, or Brandon Drury?
I am going with, there's probably a place you can start Brandon Drury since he's triple eligible, but I don't think you can sit Jung Ho Kang.
This is from Paula from the Podcast League. Dear, you know you make me want a trout and White Noise. Those are our team names. I'm the trout name and Scott is obviously White Noise. Mm-hmm. I made it to the final in the 12-team podcast points league. Any advice on how to beat a fantasy baseball writer? I hear he's pretty good. She's facing off against Al Melchior.
Oh, good for Al.
Yeah, Al's in the finals.
Al had a pretty good season. His departing season. He was like David Ortiz.
Yeah, I was going to say, and he has Ortiz. Let's see Scott's, Al's lineup here. Lucroy, Encarnacion, LeMahieu, Donaldson, Eduardo Nunez, Nelson Cruz, Chris Davis with a C, Adam Duvall, and David Ortiz. I don't even feel like that's good of a lineup.
Oh, that's a pretty good lineup. It's outfield's kind of weak, I guess, but...
Well, LeMahieu and Nunez in there. Middle infield?
LeMahieu's perfectly fine.
He's fine.
Nunez
is a little
weak. Doesn't feel
like a championship lineup.
But he has a stud catcher. He has Ortiz in his utility. So he's, you know, an extra stud hitter in utility. Encarnacion, Donaldson. Come on.
I mean, this is hilarious. This is how you win fantasy. I mean, look at who he's starting in his rotation. John Lester, Justin Verlander, Seth Lugo, Matt Garza, Alex Cobb, Danny Duffy, and Clayton Richard are his relievers. Clayton Richard, 2 starts this week. I mean, it's so shocking how much your roster changes from the start of the season to the end of the season.
Yeah, I don't feel great about some of those pitching choices.
Let's see how
he made it further than I did, so I don't have
no,
the right.
No, I don't either. But that's the reality of it. I mean, Seth Lugo is a guy that a lot of people are probably going to have to turn to.
Seth Lugo is probably the one I feel the best about. Matt Garza and Alex Cobb. Cobb going against the Yankees. So I don't feel great about that.
I feel fine about that. No Castro, no Ellsbury. It's going to be like Torres and Mason Williams.
We don't know what kind of workload Alex Cobb is dealing with.
Oh, I don't see why he couldn't give you 6 innings.
He hasn't gotten many swings and misses. I like stashing him, but I'm not ready to start him. That just seems dangerous to me.
Look, I don't think Al wants to start him. But here's Paula's team. And it's a 2-week final, by the way. Oh, man, if I didn't like Al's lineup. My team was better than these two. Come on, JT Realmuto.
There you go.
Eric Hosmer, Jason Kipnis, Justin Turner. Jonathan VR. Yeah, I mean, that's very good. Jonathan VR. Christian Yelich, Charlie Blackmon, Trey Turner. Nice pickup. Martin Prado. And this is a nice rotation here. Scherzer, Cueto, Sale, Hamill, Happ, Aaron Sanchez, and Zach Britton. Damn, Al. You're in trouble. All right.
Well, it's hitting versus pitching, right?
Basically, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, how about girl power? We had the women in our podcast leagues, both this one and the categories leagues, did outstanding this year. Good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Shane in Dallas says, "Dear Rudolph and St. Nick, who do I start at utility?" This is another tough one. Justin Upton, Jonathan VR, Brandon Drury, and Gary Sanchez. Pick one. Upton, VR, Drury, Sanchez.
I assume it's standard where stolen bases are 2 points apiece. That's a big deal with VR, of course. And I think I'd lean VR.
Okay.
I think I would. Sanchez, I would say no to him. I don't know who your catcher is. I hope it's one of the top three, because otherwise Sanchez should be starting there. But he's homered the last 2 games, but the strikeouts have been way up recently, and there has been some cooling off there. So I'm back to catcher eligible players don't start at utility ever. I think VR. I feel like he's the safest. I'm not sure you could really go wrong with him, Upton and Drury, though.
Okay. Thank you, Shane. Finally, we have 2 more, actually. We have Victor. This is just a 1-day thing for just today. Ryan Healy or Ulieski Gurriel?
Oh, let me open up the matchups. I got to see who the pitcher is.
Brad Peacock against... Oh, it's the same game. It's Brad Peacock and Cotton.
The fabric of our life.
Yeah. Gurriel or Healy?
Healy.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah.
Now we have our last email. This is from Trevor. Dear King Kong, Al, and Dylan. I have no idea.
Bundys?
Who are they?
Well, Dylan and Al are Bundys, right?
Yes. Who's King Kong Bundy?
I have no idea. That throws a wrench in the whole thing.
But I think you're right. King Kong Bundy. Oh, he's a wrestler.
Ah.
Good for you.
Thank you.
Semifinals against my buddy who beat me last year. 10-team categories with batting average. Okay. Is it worth keeping Giancarlo Stanton, Jose Ramirez, or Ulieski Gurriel if I can pick up Jake Lamb or Adam Duvall?
Okay, so Jake Lamb and Adam Duvall, who would he be dropping again?
Stanton, Jose Ramirez, or Gurriel.
If it's just for a bench spot, no, I don't think you need to drop any of those for those other two.
No, but I could see dropping Stanton for anyone if you're starting them. If you're starting them, right?
Yeah,
now.
If you're starting, that's different. But I assumed you weren't starting.
I imagine that Stanton. I just feel like Stanton's going to play in their next game, which is today at 7 o'clock.
I mean, yeah. I mean, by the end of this current week, he could be fully established as their everyday right fielder again, and
yeah,
you know, maybe he'll be an obvious start for the final week of the season. So it'll be nice to keep him around. I don't think you're really going to miss Duvall or Lamb.
Okay. Sweet. That's Scott White. I'm Adam Azer. Hope this has been helpful. Good luck. Get yourself a win. We're back tomorrow with another edition of Fantasy Baseball Today. Machado.